The Church of God the Eternal presents The Rock of Israel, a message by Mr. John Brisby for the night to be much observed, April 19th, 2019.
Special greetings to all of you, brethren, on the beginning of this seven-day Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're here on that which is called the night to be much observed. It is not a Sabbath service that we conduct on this night. We will have our official holy day services tomorrow during the daylight portion of this first day of Unleavened Bread. But by tradition, now we are fulfilling the obligation to recognize, to think about, to commemorate the meaning of the Exodus of the ancient Israelites and what it means for us spiritually. And so it is a night to be observed, and we are going to observe it with physical food and fellowship among those who have an opportunity to gather together with others of like mind. But by history, Mr. Raymond Cole always wanted to give a small sermonette, if you will, to remind us of what this is all about, so that it's more than just a physical exercise. And so last night during the Passover service, I mentioned to you the aspect of Jesus Christ as a sure foundation, as a rock. And so let's pick that up now as it applies to the night to be much observed. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3, because God, who saved Israel, was called their rock. How did that symbolism apply? Well, let's read it here. Verse 3 of Deuteronomy 32, because I will publish the name of the Eternal, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock. Verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right. Is he. Just and right is he. So as I've told you many times before, he's not only a powerful God, he is a good God. Everything that he does has purpose. Now the Israelites have a problem with that. Historically they have had it. We do today, because we don't always view the actions that we see and experience as being a manifestation of goodness. And so by nature we like to challenge, and we like to condemn, and we like to murmur. But this night was about the euphoria that the ancient Israelites experienced because of being set free from Egyptian slavery and beginning to walk out as a free people. Drop down to verse 36. For the Eternal shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Again, we're talking about a time when God will show what has value and what does not have value, what is in essence vain, through experience. And sadly, it is the thing that human beings need to experience. They need to prove that their way doesn't work, because they will not take God's word for it. When he says, follow me and do it this way because I promise you this is the right way. Don't do it your own way because that will turn out bad. And human beings say, I still think my way would be equal to or better than your way. And so in essence, God devised this entire system to allow human beings to show the worthlessness of their own way in opposition to God's path. Where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Because human beings certainly do trust in something they call a rock, a foundation, but it's not God. Verse 38, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drink the wine of their drink offerings, referring still to their false gods, whatever it is, the idols that they trust in to save them, to help them, to guide them. Let them rise up, these false gods, and help you and be your protection. See now, He says in verse 39, the end result, when they find out that their gods don't help them, don't make them happy, don't satisfy them, don't save them, then what is left as the truth? Verse 39, see now that I, God says, even I am He, and there is no God with me. Meaning God's not just some puppet of some greater power. He doesn't need anybody else in order to do His mighty work. He is the power. He is the source. I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, He says, and I make alive. He does have power over life and death. I wound and I heal. Neither, He says, is there any that can deliver out of my hand. My dear friends, we are dealing with a powerful God who has a purpose and a plan that He started from the beginning, and you're a part of it. Even as the ancient Israelites were a part of it, but they weren't as important as you are, because they were only physical people of a physical nation who were there to write lessons, and mostly lessons of failure, but to point out the reality of this foundational God and His purpose and His plan, which does have a great happy ending to come, when the true people of God who embrace His way of life will be set free from slavery of mind, which condemns us to eternal death, and to be redeemed out of that Egyptian slavery and to have a chance to have a glorious future for all eternity. How marvelous is it? So let's do as we always do and go back to Exodus 12 and just read very rapidly verse 21 through verse 42, which tells the story of the original Exodus, this beginning of coming out of slavery, which compares to our coming out of sin. How did the stalwart and unswerving God, we call the rock and the foundation, how did He prove His strength and His reliability to Israel, the physical people? Let's read it here, Exodus 12, 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Eternal will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Eternal will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. In essence, so God was making a separation. Physically, He was going to make a separation between the children of Israel and the people of the land. And the Israelites would be spared from physical death of their firstborn, but the Egyptians would suffer incredible loss. Verse 24, and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. So this wasn't going to be just a one-time thing, because the real importance of this Passover was going to be for the future. Verse 25, and it shall come to pass when you become to the land which the Eternal will give you according as He hath promised that you shall keep this service. And here we are, thousands of years later, still observing the Passover as we did last night. And verse 26, it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Eternal's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered their houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. So at this point, they were respectful, and they did follow the instruction of God through Moses, and they did keep the Passover, and they kept themselves in their homes that night. Verse 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Eternal smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. So it's not talking about cows, it's talking about all livestock. So God didn't make any distinction between animal or man in the death of the firstborn offspring. Verse 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Eternal as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said." Because that was a contention. He had conditionally approved previous arrangements, negotiations with Moses to allow the Israelites to go out into the desert and to do their sacrifice, but he wouldn't let them take their animals. He was still acting for a long time as if he had some power to negotiate with God. And finally was the culmination of God humbling him completely with this great 10th plague. "Also, take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." Yes, they finally came to understand they were dealing with a God who would brook no insurrection. He would have his way, because he does have power of life and death. He is the foundation of this plan, and he will negotiate with no human being. "And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment." Verse 36, "And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians," which means they went out not as paupers, but they went out a very wealthy physical nation. "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual." And so it compares to the fact that you and I are thrust in haste out of the world. At least if we take it seriously, that's the way it should be. Instead of lingering in our old lives and the things of this world, God wants us to be hasty when given the opportunity for freedom from the way of sin, to urgently apply ourselves to getting out. Verse 40, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, not the time that they as a family and a nation were actually in Egyptian slavery, but going all the way back to the time very likely when Abraham was first called by God out of his homeland to begin to wander in the promised land and to begin this master plan of work with physical Israel. Verse 41, "And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt." Verse 42, "It is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal," which is why we still call it the same thing this evening, the night to be much observed. "It is a night to be much observed unto the Eternal for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations, especially among the spiritual children of Israel, of which you are a key part. Ones who have an opportunity this very night to remember and to apply it not only as a memorial of the time past for a physical people thousands of years ago, but to understand the symbolism and what it means to you and me, the requirement to come out of sin, the hope of coming out of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and having a bright and a glorious future ahead. Yes, Israel saw the manifestation of power and strength of God in the acts of this great being who humbled his enemies. They saw it physically. You and I have been called today to serve this very same God and to come out of the idolatry of this world. Tonight, my dear friends, we celebrate that calling, that special priceless calling, and that spiritual journey out of sin that we are all embarked upon now. So celebrate tonight, fellowship with those of like mind, enjoy the food and the drink, remember, however, what it really, really means and the overall plan and the purpose of this great and this marvelous God.
The Church of God the Eternal has just presented The Rock of Israel, a message by Mr. John Brisby for The Night to be Much Observed, April 19th, 2019.